John chapter 4. Pick up where we left off this morning, which I believe was 28. We got through verse 28 and read 29. Well, we read the whole passage there, but we're going to look a little bit more at 29 here this evening. But we'll back up to verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they came out of the city and came unto him. Now we're going to see how long it takes to preach on that verse before we read any other ones. Okay? Because this morning we read all the way over to verse 42 and only made it through 27 and 28. By the way, I didn't expound on this morning, but in verse 27 there it says, no man said, what seekest thou or why talkest thou with her? So what they were saying when they got back was, well, what they didn't say when they got back was, it says that they marveled that he was talking to this woman, but you notice that nobody bothered to question him about it. It was, nobody said, hey, what are you talking to her for? Or, hey, what are you trying to find out from that lady? They kept that to themselves, and I think that's funny because there are other times in Scripture, it's just funny what people think about asking and what they don't. You know, here they didn't ask that. And then other times in Scripture, you find people asking things that you have to look at it and say, well, what would you ask him that for? You know, you could kind of understand if they would have asked, what are you talking to her for? She's a Samaritan. You know, they're still getting to know Christ and his ministry is just starting out. But then later on, they ask some questions that leave you scratching your head. Well, that's because they're people like we are, and that's the kind of stuff that we do. But anyhow, the woman then comes to the well, and she meets Jesus, and she's face to face with her sin, and then she leaves her water pot, and she goes into the city, and she tells the men in the city, she says, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You know, the theme of the book of John is Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. It talks about his deity, the fact that he is the Savior. You'll remember that Matthew is Jesus, King of the Jews. It's a largely Jewish book. It deals with his ancestry and the fact that he's the Messiah. Mark is Jesus, the servant. And it talks about how he came and made himself a servant, as Philippians says. Luke is Jesus, the Son of Man. There's a lot in there about the fact that he was, that he took on the form of a man. And then John is Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior, the Lamb of God, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Now that's the theme of the book. I think that the theme of the first few chapters, if we gave a theme to those, it would have to be, and I know I already preached a sermon entitled this, but we would have to say that the first few chapters could be summed up in this: come and see. I mean, just, you have John the Baptist pointing people to Christ, and then you have in the first chapter, you have the disciples are starting to come to him, and they're telling one another, hey, come and see, we have found him. Remember, Philip told Nathanael, he said, we have found him, and he said, could any good thing come out of Nazareth? And they said, come and see. And so here we are again, here this woman goes into the city and says, come and see. And I want us to think about that a little bit tonight. So here she has come face to face with her sin. She's face to face with the answer, which is Jesus Christ, the Savior. And she leaves her water pot, leaves that thing, that temporal thing of the world. And now she's on a mission to go tell other people about Jesus Christ. And so what stands out to me is this: when she went to tell others, what she told them of Christ, and she told them to come and see. Come down here for yourself and see this man, Jesus Christ. And I want to point out a few things tonight along that line. And it's, the first one is this. Notice that when she went back, The first thing that she did was start talking about Jesus. She didn't go back and talk about the conversation that she'd had with Jesus about where people are to worship. She didn't go back and say, hey, this Jewish guy was down there asking me for a drink of water and get this whole thing stirred up. She went back and she talked about Jesus, okay? And we need to keep that in mind. John the Baptist pointed people to Jesus. This lady here was pointing people to Jesus. The disciples are pointing people to Jesus. We need to keep in mind as we serve the Lord that we do not promote a church. We do not, it is not our responsibility to promote, though we invite people here, we're not trying to promote Faith Baptist Church because Faith Baptist Church isn't the answer for people. Okay? We are not promoting a man. We're not promoting me as a pastor. We're not promoting any of you as members of the church. We're not following, I don't know if you've ever seen a church that kind of follows another church. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but I have seen that where there will be a church that will find, a lot of times it's a larger church, and it'll be doing things a certain way, and they'll model themselves after that church. They will preach what they're preaching. They'll kind of follow along with what they're doing, and then their church becomes a carbon copy of this other church. Okay? We're not trying to promote a church. We're not trying to promote a man. You don't come in here and find that we have a bunch of books for sale back there that are all by this one certain man, and we're trying to push him. We're not trying to get people signed up to go to this big retreat somewhere. We have our little things here, but we're not out pushing a man. We're not promoting a church. We're not promoting a man. We're not promoting an idea here. Okay, Christianity is not an idea. All right? We're not promoting an idea. There are churches today who do promote ideas. There are churches, I have been on their websites, church websites, and all over the front page, it'll be about how green the church is. And you know what that means nowadays. Remember when people used to say they were going green and it meant that they were either getting sick or they were putting on a green shirt? And now you hear the word green. We've gone green. And now what it means is save the planet, save the earth, okay? I've been on church websites that say, it talks about how green the church is. And they feel that that's important for the church to be green. Well, we don't promote the church. We don't promote a man. We don't promote an idea. We don't promote some kind of drummed up idea that a man has. We're not promoting soup kitchens. We're not promoting it. We're not promoting anything like that. What are we doing? We're trying to do what John the Baptist did. We're trying to do what this woman did. We're trying to do what the disciples did and the prophets did and what the Scripture tells us to do. And we're just trying to point people to Jesus Christ. That's who we're pointing people to. We're not even trying to promote Jesus because he doesn't need a promotion. Where do you go when you're at the top? Okay? It's not, we are just pointing people to the Savior. Now, if people get saved and come here to Faith Baptist Church, we're thankful for that. We love to have you. We want you to get in and learn and grow. But as I've said before, and I've said it here recently, if they get saved and end up in another good Bible preaching church, it doesn't matter to us. As long as you're somewhere where the Bible's being preached and you're going to grow and God's going to make you into what, that's what we want. Okay? We're not promoting a church. We're not promoting a man. We're not promoting an idea. We don't even say that we're promoting Jesus Christ. That kind of weakens it, doesn't it? No, we're pointing people to Jesus Christ. We're pointing people to salvation. There's language that I personally don't care for. It. You can make up your own minds. I don't care for this language of we're connecting people with God. That cheapens the gospel to me. when people say, well, we just want to connect people to God. What happened to we want to see people get saved? We want to see people turn to Jesus Christ in repentance. It cheapens the gospel. It weakens the Bible, connecting with God. It's kind of New Age talking. People that are in the New Age movement, they're trying to connect with their inner self, connect with the great cosmic whatever it is that they believe is out there. We don't try to connect people to God. We point people to salvation. We point people to Jesus Christ. I want you to think about this, and then we'll move on from that. I won't harp on it all night. But I just want to say this one last thing. Think about it like this. If maybe you're asking, well, what's wrong with the word connect? What if I introduced Amy to someone who we met somebody for the first time, okay? Or a new couple comes here to this church. And I say, I'm Pastor Utley, and this is my connection, Amy. Or I say, this is my wife, Amy. We got connected 19 years ago. I said, when did you get married? Oh, we didn't get married. We were connected. What do you think Amy would say? She'd say, are you kidding me? Yeah. She wouldn't say anything. But I have learned that women say more when they don't say anything than they do oftentimes when they do say something. I would rather you talk to me than to just give me that look. How do you think that would make her feel? Okay? Amy and I aren't just connected. When Amy and I got married, we weren't connecting with one another. We married one another. The two became one, okay? The Bible tells us that the twain becomes one. We became one. It wasn't a connection. See how that kind of cheapens it? It's just like partner. You know, that's my partner. Sometimes you'll be feeling things. Oh, it's just sad, this terrible world we live in. Well, anyhow, you fill out these forms now, and it's getting harder and harder to find one that says married, spouse. You know, no, it says partner. You know, it doesn't say spouse, it doesn't say husband or wife, it says partner. I filled out something about a year or so ago. And it just, what can you say about it? But I was filling it out, name, age. You get down to sex, and it says male, female, other. That's what it said. It said other. Because if they don't put that on there, somebody's going to take them to court, and some judge is going to rule in their favor. Okay? Back to what we were saying. We don't connect people to God. We're not trying to connect people. It cheapens it. We are pointing people to Jesus Christ. We are showing people what the Bible says about mankind, that we are lost, we are fallen, we are sinful, and every one of us is in desperate need of a Savior. And let me tell you what. If you're on a boat and you pull up next to a dock, you throw your rope out and you connect to that dock. But if your boat is sinking in the middle of the ocean, you need somebody to come out and throw a lifeline and save you and rescue you and pull you out of the waters. Is that not right? I don't need to be connected with God. I need Him to save me from the waters that I'm drowning in. So we're not pushing a church. We're not pushing a man. It's not an idea. We're not connecting people to Christ. We are pointing people to Jesus Christ. We are pointing people in His direction. They got to walk that way. They've got to make that decision. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But we are pointing them in the right direction. And that's exactly what she did. She went back to this city and she told them of Christ, and she told them, come and see. It was all about Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you, let me point something else out to you. Look, it says, and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Okay? you learn a lot whenever you start to examine and you think about how something was said and what wasn't said. What do we not find here? Hey, men of the city, would you like to come down and see this guy? We don't find, hey, if you've got time, I think you should probably go down and, hey, do you feel like going down and talking to this guy? Hey, do you, what do you think about coming down to the well with me? There's a really nice guy down there that I'd like for you to meet. This woman did not go back and say, would you like to? Now, she couldn't force him, but she didn't come back and say, would you like to? What do you think about that? How would you feel about that? Would it offend you if I asked you to come down and see? You know what she did? She went into the city and she told them. Now, they didn't have to do what she said. It was up to them, but she said, come see a man. It wasn't, would you like to? I think it'd be a good idea if you've got time. She saw the urgency, didn't she? She saw the importance. Hey, she knew what her need was. She knew that he met her need. She looked at them and saw the same need and knew that he could meet their need. And she said, come see him. Now, we don't find her behind them pushing them. We don't find her luring them along with cookouts and pizza and bowling parties and things like that. We don't find it. But we also don't find, it doesn't sound to me like she's a mealy-mouthed, little timid woman, does it to you? She goes back into, this woman is talking to the men. Okay, this woman is telling these men what to do. She comes back and says, come see a man. Come see a man. She didn't ask first if they were interested. She told them, come and see. Man might be blind to his need, but his need still exists. And when we see the need that exists, we need to open people's eyes to it. We need to show people, hey, you have a desperate need. Let me show you what the Bible says your need is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you a part of all? There is none righteous, no, not one. Are you in there? The wages of sin is death. She went right back into that town. And she went to the men. And I don't know what how the Samaritans conducted themselves. I cannot tell you if this was accepted or not. But all I see is a woman who went to men of the city and said, come see a man. You need to come down here. You need to come and just let your eyes fall upon this man. And though men are blind oftentimes to the need that exists, it still exists. And so we need to be telling people, hey, come to Jesus Christ. Point people to Jesus Christ. We do it correctly. We do it biblically. But we do it. We do it. Now look. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I think this is extremely interesting what she said. Okay, now, I don't know if you ever thought about this or not, but she just said that Jesus told her all things that she ever did. Do we read that anywhere? How many sins did he point out? Well, if you want to say worshiping in the wrong place. Okay, if you want to, I guess we could say two. If we say, you know, that she was not worshiping in the right place. Well, I guess technically three when you count the number of husbands. Okay. Oh, well, I guess you could say five. I mean, if she was divorced five times, I don't know, you know. I'm assuming they didn't all just die or Christ wouldn't have pointed it out. Okay. But there's one major thing that he pointed out to her, and that was, you're an adulteress. Okay? That's the main thing that he pointed out. As far as her specific sins, that's the main thing that he pointed out to her was, you're an adulteress. You are currently living in adultery. You have been married five times, and now you're living with someone, or she's at least involved, says the one that thou now hast, she's at least involved with someone who is not her husband. And this isn't just a friend that she has coffee with once in a while, or Christ would not have pointed out, the one you have now is not your husband. Hey, she had him. Okay? So he points that out. He points that out to her. He points out that their worship is not right. But there's one main thing that he points out to her, and that is, you're an adulteress. Okay, now let me ask you something. Do you believe for one moment that that was her only sin? That the woman did everything perfect, and the only thing she ever did wrong was when it came to these husbands and this life of adultery or worshiping in the mountain, worshiping God incorrectly? Do you think those are the only things that that woman had ever done wrong? She is a Samaritan. They were idol worshipers. Okay? They were known and despised by Israel for their pagan practices and trying to mix idol worship and paganism with the worship of God. Because they had not completely abandoned the idea of God, but they were trying to worship God and their pagan idols. They were trying to join the two together, much like a lot of modern American Christianity today, or so-called American Christianity. Trying to bring the elements of the world into the church and do things the way the world does things. They were wanting to worship God, sort of, and they wanted to worship these idols, and they were trying to bring the two together. Adultery was not the only thing that this woman had done wrong. What did Christ point out? He pointed out adultery. He pointed out she was wrong about worship. She goes back into town, and she tells the men in town, he told me everything about me. Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. This is so good here that she said this, okay? Because it points out a couple of things to us. There's a couple of applications here. It teaches us more than one thing. The first thing that it teaches us is this. Pointing out the little bit that he pointed out was all that it took for her to know, this guy knows everything about me. It only took pointing out one or two things for her to realize, hey, I'm not dealing with just another man here. This guy knows stuff that nobody in his position could know. He's not one of us. He's not from our town. I've never seen this guy before. He's not a Samaritan. He's a Jew. They don't even talk to us. And he knows exactly how many husbands I've had. And he knows that I'm living with a guy right now that I'm not married to. Boy, that's all it took for her to know, this guy knows it all. This guy knows it all. You know what else it teaches us? What else it points out to us is this. That is how conviction works on a lot of people. Let me give you an example. Maybe you've been there. You've witnessed to somebody, and you haven't even mentioned any sins yet. You haven't said a thing about a specific sin, and right away, they start arguing and justifying every single thing. Or you'll say something about one thing, so, well, the Bible says this, and what they hear is, you're pointing out every sin, and you haven't even said anything. You'll be telling somebody about all of sin and comes, and right away, Who says? And well, and they got all these excuses and reasons about stuff you didn't even know they were doing. Stuff you didn't even know was in their life. You know what they heard? You know what they heard? They heard you were pointing out everything they ever did wrong, but you weren't. You were giving them the gospel, and the Holy Spirit starts reminding them of how sinful they are. And the Holy Spirit starts bringing stuff up. And they come and you say, you haven't said to them, you're a thief. You've just said, have you ever stolen anything? Who are you calling a thief? I didn't call you anything. I asked if you'd stolen anything. If somebody's calling you a thief, then the Holy Spirit's calling you a thief because he knows you've stolen. Have you ever lied to anybody? Well, you calling me a liar? I didn't call you a liar. I asked you. Why do they hear it that way? Conviction. I don't know if you've ever been there, but you'll just be talking about something very straightforward and very plain from Scripture, and all of a sudden people are getting all aggravated. Well, he said he's pointing out this. Boy, this is, he's talking about that, and he said, who are you calling that? We didn't call anything. We just told you what the Bible said. There's got to be a reason why you're getting so mad and so defensive. All Jesus did was mention a couple of things, and she goes back, he told me everything I ever did. No, he hadn't, but he said enough for conviction to take over and for conviction to prove to her, this guy knows everything that you've done. He didn't have to say it, did he? He didn't have to line it all, to lay it all out. Just like when you witness to somebody, you just point out what the Bible says. You don't have to know what their sins are. You just point out, look, here's what the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit does the work and begins to convict. Yeah, they bring something up, go to the Scripture and say, well, here's what Scripture says about that. Christ had pointed out a couple of things. And she goes back to town and says, he told me all I ever did. Well, what happened was he pointed out enough to prove to her that he knew everything she'd ever done. That's all it took. That's all that it took for her to know. He knows everything about me. And church, you'll find that from time to time. People get defensive over things that you didn't even mention. People get upset about stuff in their life and act as though you were calling them names and like you've been driving around and you've been following them around writing down everything that they do and you didn't even know they were doing those things. You just told them what the Bible said. And the Holy Spirit began to remind them and convict them, and their conscience started getting after them. Okay? That's all it took for her to see. This man knows everything that I've done. Now look at verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. We've seen here the response of this Samaritan woman. And now just for a couple of minutes here, let's look at the response of the other Samaritans. Well, and we won't get all the way through this because this extends into more verses than what we're going to look at tonight. But let's look at verse 30. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. The first thing that we need to see tonight is this. They had to make that decision, didn't they? They had to make that choice. Look. We all know what it is to know somebody that needs to be saved. We all know what it is to know somebody who is saved, but they're back out in the world. They're living carnally. They're just not pleasing God with their life. And to hurt for them and to want them to get saved and to want them to get back under God's control and in His will, we know that. We know that. We know what that means. We have family members, we have friends, we have neighbors, we know people. And some of us in here are praying for people we've never met because we share burdens with one another. Okay? But we know what it is to pray for. We know what it is to witness to. We know what it is to plead with people. That they would get saved. That they would if they are saved, but they're out in the world, that they would get back in fellowship with Christ, that they get in a good church, that they learn. We all know people who are saved, but they're going down a wrong road that maybe we went down, and they're listening to some bad doctrine. They're in, maybe they're saved, or they think that they're saved, and they're in a church that isn't preaching the truth, and we know what it means to hurt for that person and to want them to get saved and get out from underneath that bad teaching and to get into the Word. And you look at the Word and you look at them and you think to yourself, boy, if they would just, I know how good it is in here. I wish they would get into this and learn these things that God's teaching all of us and come be a part of this. And we know what that means to have that desire. I pray that we do. I pray that we don't look at people who aren't saved and think, oh well. I hope we don't look at people who are hearing the wrong things, that are in the wrong places. I hope that we don't look at these people and say, oh well. Or we just make excuses, or we excuse them. Or I hope that we have a burden for them to get saved. I hope that we have a burden for them to get under the truth of God's Word and get out of that stuff that they're in. But let me tell you what, we can have that burden and we should. And we can pray for them fervently and we ought to do that too. But you are not dragging that person to Christ. That old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can't even drag a lost person to living water. You're not dragging them down there. They're going to have to get up. You pray for them, and you weep over them, and your heart is broken over them, and you witness to them, and you encourage them to the point where they don't even want to talk to you anymore because you've got nothing else to say except Jesus. You've got nothing else to talk about. Well, you know why? Because that's what you need right now. And nothing else matters. Like the woman this morning, nothing else matters until they get saved. And you get to that point where they just don't want to, they don't even want to get on the phone with you anymore. They don't want to talk to you down by the mailbox anymore because it's just always the same old stuff. Now, that is all that you can do. Be broken for them. Pray for them, witness to them, give them the gospel. That is absolutely all that you can do. And let's be honest, we don't always do that. Come on, let's be honest with ourselves. We don't always do that. We write them off, or we don't write them off, we just don't want to contend with them, and we say, oh well, you know, I won't say anything, it's just to let them go, and maybe one day, and we're not always doing what we need to do, okay? But even when we've done everything that we can do, there's only so much that we can do. This woman went to the city. She went where they were. This woman testified to them. She said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. She went to where they were. She told them about this man, Jesus. And she told them, come and see him. But she couldn't take a single person there. She couldn't drag them. She couldn't push them. She couldn't load them up and drive them. What did they have to do? They had to get up and say, yeah, we want to see him too. And I understand that burden of you wish you could do it for them. But let me tell you something, church. And I'm going to go ahead and close with this. She could point, she could beg, she could plead, but they had to make the decision on their own. Have you ever heard of people do this a lot whenever they're dealing with someone who has a drug problem? Okay? Have you ever heard of people doing what they call an intervention? And basically they come in and just, I don't know, take you out of your house, take you to their house, and flush all your dope down the toilet and dump everything out. And you know what? We fully understand the motivation behind that. You love that person so much, you're willing to go in and try to fix things for them. But I'm telling you what, that kind of stuff doesn't work. I'm not saying that on the face of this earth there aren't a few people who somebody came in and did it, you know, they intervened and then they got, but I'm telling you, you're going to find more often than not, it's only a matter of time before there's dope in the house again, there's booze in the house again, or they're back to whatever it was. You know why? They didn't want to get off that stuff. You wanted to get them off of that stuff. Or even if they did want to get off that stuff, they didn't get off of it. You tried to take them off of it. You know where the difference is made? Is when that person says, I'm done with that. I want to get off of that stuff. That intervention stuff, I know it's a big famous thing, big popular thing right now. It doesn't work. Okay? And it doesn't work with the gospel either. You can't drag people to Christ. You can't push them to Christ. You can beg. You can plead. And oh, we ought to. Tell them, come and see. Beg with them. Won't you please come and see? You need to come and see. You need to come to Christ. And that's what our cry is. But I'm telling you what, there is no intervention. Okay? There is one man who has already intervened and he makes intercession. He is the mediator. But that man will do them no good until they make the conscious decision to repent and put their faith and trust in him and make him their intercessor and their mediator. You are not their intercessor. You are not their mediator. Christ is. All you can do is beg and plead and point them towards Christ. You can't get them there. You cannot get them there. And I've heard people, this is sad. I understand the heart behind it. I do. I do, church. We all understand the heart behind it. But I know of people who have tried to bribe family members into church. Oh, it would make Dad so happy if you would just come. You know, it would make Mom's day if you would just come. Well, what good is that? Listen, if they've been pointed to the fact that they're lost and they need to be saved, and that's not, they haven't responded to that, coming to church to make somebody happy probably isn't going to do anything either. Maybe they would show up and finally get a hold of them. The gospel would finally, it's sort of like an intervention. This woman didn't go back and try to drag them and pull them. But she went to where they were. She told them who Jesus was. And she told them, come and see. And it was up to each individual man to stand up and say, I'm going to go see. I'm going to go see. Now look in verse 30. We'll pick this up again next Sunday morning. Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Okay? As, what's the word? Disappointing as it is, when we witness to people and they won't listen and they won't get saved and they just don't pay any attention, why do we stay at it? Because some people do listen. God's not done saving people. People are still getting saved. Maybe not by the numbers that they used to, but numbers have never mattered. The only number that matters is one. If there's one left, that's the one that matters. There's one more, one more, one more, one less going to hell, one less going to hell, one less going to hell. If in the history of this church one person got saved through the ministry of this church, would it not be worth the 40-some years that this church has been in existence? But more people than that have gotten saved. And I believe that more people will be saved. Even if we don't see it, we might just plant the seed, we might just water it, we might not see it. We don't know how many people are saved because of what we're doing. We don't get to see it all. But listen, we go to the city where they're at. We tell them about Jesus Christ. And we tell them to come and see. They got to get up and go. They've got to get up and go. But we have to be sure that we point them in the right direction. Hey, it gets disappointing sometimes. You feel like nobody's listening, nobody's listening, nobody's listening. No. Sometimes people listen. And you don't know which one's going to listen, so you just tell everybody. And I'll close with this. They might not have listened to you that day, but you may have planted the seed and they're going to listen to the next guy that comes along. You might give them the gospel. I know, we want to see it. Well, we don't get to all the time, so we're just going to have to get over that. You might plant that seed and that guy moves out of town, gets a job somewhere else, meets another Christian, he waters it, and maybe the guy that waters that seed doesn't even get the seed. And both of you are thinking, boy, the guy didn't get saved. Didn't get to see it. You don't know that. You don't know that. I do not know. I do not know if this will happen in heaven. I've heard preachers talk this way, and they're so sure it's going to be like this. I don't know of any scripture that tells us it's going to happen. But I'm not saying it won't. What if we get to heaven? What if we get to heaven and people are coming up shaking hands? What if we get to heaven and we see the guy that first witnessed to us, but we didn't get saved till years later? What if we are able to go to that person and thank him, and he just got done thanking this guy that witnessed to him but didn't know that he got saved? I hear preachers say that all the time. There's nothing in the Bible that says that's going to happen. But we don't know that it won't. I don't know. I don't know if we're going to get to heaven and see the fruit and see. Will it matter? Will it matter? No, what matters is we just keep sowing that seed, keep planting that seed, keep watering that seed. And let God give the increase. It's all about Him anyhow, isn't it? Let's pray and be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, I'm just so thankful for this beautiful story of the Samaritan woman. Lord, that I just had no idea there was this much to be learned, this much to take in from this passage. But Lord, I'm so thankful that You're showing this to us and that You're encouraging us. And my prayer for us as a church is that this week, Lord, we'll go out and we will keep these things in mind as we sow that seed, water that seed, and leave the increase up to You. We thank You for everything that You've done. Thank You for letting us be here tonight. Encourage us, Lord, and strengthen us and help us to be that You'd have us to be. Please keep Your hand of protection on us in all that we do and bring us back again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.